Last week, the Supreme Court took a step toward allowing President Donald Trump to ban transgender troops from serving in the military. Trump originally tweeted this policy back in July of 2017, but federal courts stopped the ban in early 2018. For a local perspective on this issue, I spoke to Helen James. She's a 91-year-old Clovis physical therapist and formerly served in the Air Force, where she experienced discrimination simply for being lesbian. Helen James, thank you so much for being with us, first of all.
You're welcome.
Can you tell us briefly about your experience in the military to start? We know you served in the Air Force in the 1950s, right?
Yes, 52 to 55.
What were you doing in the Air Force?
I was a radio operator. And I had, previous to that, I had been teaching physical education. I had a bachelor's degree in physical science. And then my family were a military family. My dad was in the First World War. My cousins, my uncles were all in the Second World War. I was a bit too young, so I went to college. And when I had a chance, I had taught for 3 years in Florida and then decided, you know, I just wanted to serve and began in 1952. I enlisted.
And then in 1955, so you were discharged, right?
Yes.
Why did that happen? Can you talk about that?
It happened because I was a lesbian.
It's as simple as that.
This was post, it was called the Red Wave, and then the Lavender Wave came up. I think just probably following that, they just wanted somebody that was other than what they considered to be Americans. And maybe national security is why they decided to do that, because you could be compromised in some way with any kind of secrets that you might have had.
What was your discharge status in 1955?
1955, my discharge was undesirable.
And so you applied twice to change it, right?
That's true.
And so I know in the 60s, it changed to honorable under general conditions, right?
Yes.
And then
under honorable conditions. So I thought, you know, that sounds good to me. I didn't think I could go further. And I wasn't told that I could, so.
And then how did you find out in 2017 when you applied again that you could change it again?
A friend of mine that was in the military and that I had known for a while, we were talking in my office, and I usually didn't talk about my discharge, but I told her, yeah, I got a bad discharge. And she said, and she calls me Jimmer. She said, you've got to do something about that. And she helps other veterans and has. She's a medic. And so she got me started.
And then you ultimately, though, they took some time, when you applied to change your discharge status, but then it took some time, so you ended up filing a lawsuit, right? What was that whole process like of you know, waiting and then saying, hey, you got to hurry this up?
Yeah, it was in 2016 in April, and I was referred to Legal Aid for Veterans. Elizabeth was an attorney there, and we met, and we started the process. Well, we had initially started it as soon as I went into the office, and I started writing up my my history and what had happened to me, and told my story as far as I knew what I had done. So.
And then when they did eventually upgrade your discharge status to honorable, how did that feel?
You know, I got that. They notified me that I was going to get the honorable discharge, and it was delivered to the house, and I just called a couple friends to come in. I had a hard time opening it, and so they opened it, and, you know, I knew I was getting it, but it was quite an interesting, I don't know, it was a shock in a sense. It was welcome. It was, you know, it was amazing. It just was like, getting news that changes your life after 60 years.
Did you feel like over the last year things have definitely been different, or do you just feel like, oh, this is right since then?
I think over time now that that I've gotten an honorable discharge, I feel that uplifting feeling within me that can be joyful again. I've found my voice. It's as though I found my voice, I guess.
And do you feel like, though, does the discharge status, has it changed literally your day-to-day living?
Yes.
Really? Can you talk a little bit about that?
It has. Well, I've always been busy with my practice and with school, and, you know, I was a professor at State. And as I found my voice, I'm able to communicate. I'm able to open myself up. People know me now. I mean, I'm exposed, but it's okay. And so now I'm involved in more things, like this podcast, for instance.
Now, so when you heard about President Trump's tweeted policy, which he tweeted back in 2017, about banning transgender members of the military, what were your thoughts then? I mean, did you have this feeling like, oh man, I think we're going backwards in time, or I don't know, did you have a reaction?
Oh, sure. Of course I did. You know, it takes a lot of courage to change your identity. For anyone to change their identity, they're so courageous, so brave, and they know, you know, people that do that, they found out who they are and they want to be identified as who they really are. And if they want to serve in the military, I mean, military, whether you're male or female, are accepting service people. So it hurts me to think that they can't be who they deem that they are, who they've gone through so much to want to serve and to be who they are. And I'm sure that they do a wonderful job. If they're going through that and then they still want to serve and expose themselves even more, then I admire them, I honor them, because they have heart, they have courage, and it's just too bad that it can't be recognized by everyone.
And so for a while, the ban was stalled by lower courts, but as of last week, the Supreme Court put a hold on some of those, they're called injunctions, from those lower courts. There's still one outstanding injunction, so that means right now the ban can't be enforced yet, but ultimately, President Trump's ban against transgender members of the military got a little closer to taking effect last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so more immediately, I mean, how do you feel about that it's even closer to transgender members of the military not being able to serve, or, you know, not being able to put themselves out there?
Well, it's really sad. It really hurts. We're going backwards in what we're trying to do to become whole people.
And the argument the president has made is that transgender members, it can be costly to accommodate them, and his word was disruptive, which some argue isn't entirely true. And I know, as you mentioned, the argument back in the 50s against gay and lesbian troops were that they would be a security risk. I mean, was that the only explanation you were ever given about why you were discharged? Was that you were a security risk?
Mm-hmm.
When you hear these arguments, though, what goes through your mind?
You know, when people serve in the military, they are putting their lives on the line. When they serve, you do, and you go to, and you're trained to do a job that's best for you or best for the military. And that might take you into dangerous places. And you're willing to go there because you've said that you want to serve this country and you're willing to die for this country. So it's a really sad thing that the people that want to serve as transgender people can't do that, can't, you know. They're saving lives, possibly.
I wonder, how do you think that these sorts of arguments or these concerns about people who are transgender, how could they be removed?
You have to change the hearts and minds of people is what you have to do. And that, you know, it takes time. It takes exposure to knowing transgender people and knowing who they are and who you are.
I wonder, do you think the military is a better or maybe like a safer place now for LGBTQ members, this transgender ban notwithstanding? Is it a better place for them today than when you served?
I don't know. I don't know because, you know, there's prejudice within the military as well. And that certainly comes through with attacks and verbiage. So I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, these people are extremely brave. They are taking on a tremendous amount of ridicule, perhaps, and fear for their lives.
Well, Helen James, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.